Earth, sky.
The potential for discovering objects in the early universe and really understanding what's happening with the first galaxies and pushing back in time is really at the forefront now, but it's going to become routine over about the next decade. And I think that will be exciting, and people will see a lot of real scientific advancement. And we only just scratched the surface with this.
You're listening to astronomer Matthew Leonard, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In October 2010, Dr. Leonard's science team announced the discovery of the oldest thing in the known universe, a galaxy that's over 13 billion years old. Dr. Leonard spoke by phone from his office in Paris with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
It's reported that you discovered the oldest thing in the universe ever observed by humans. Please tell us what you found.
Well, I think the word discovered is probably a bit exaggerated because the object originally came from very deep imaging from the Hubble Space Telescope. And what we did is we used a very large telescope in Chile to actually observe the light from this galaxy in what we call with a spectrograph. And that means we just take the light and we split it by its wavelength, and so we can determine more properties of the galaxy. And so what we found was an emission line of hydrogen. And so what an emission line is when the hydrogen atom recombines, the electron might fall to the ground state of it, and it emits a photon, a quanta of light. And by measuring that light, we actually can tell how far away it is, or alternatively, how long ago this object existed. Because you have to remember that distance and time in the universe are virtually one and the same. That means as we look at things that are very far away, we're also seeing them as they were a long time ago.
Now tell us about what was emitting that light out there. It's described as a galaxy, one of the oldest galaxy that astronomers have found. Tell us a little bit about what object is, a little bit more about that galaxy.
So the galaxy itself, since it's so early in the age of the universe, it's literally only 600 million years after the Big Bang, the explosion that created the space and the time in which we exist, means that it doesn't really have time to accumulate a lot of gas and hence form a lot of stars. So the galaxy itself is actually very small in size, you know, diameter. It's about one-tenth the size of our own Milky Way galaxy. But the number of stars in it is something like about 1/100th to 1/1000th the size of our own galaxy, the Milky Way. And the reason I give you a range of values for these numbers is because they're actually highly uncertain. Because the galaxy is so faint, it's hard to actually get very tight constraints on the size and how many stars are in the galaxy. It's still an extremely faint galaxy, which means it's very, very difficult to study it and learn a lot about it. So in reality, in fact, we know very little about the properties of this galaxy.
I understand that as astronomers look at galaxies that are further and further back and that were closer and closer to when the Big Bang occurred, that these galaxies formed, that they're telling astronomers more and more about what the early universe was like. What does this galaxy tell us about the early universe? What was the universe like back then, 13.1 billion years ago?
Well, that's a really good question, actually, because, in fact, that's the important part, because the universe back then, 13.1 billion years ago, was actually not very much like it is today. And the reason for this is perhaps a little bit complicated, but I think it's kind of worth going through maybe the early history of the universe, which I think your listeners might find fascinating. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of uncertainty in this, but this is the general picture of what we think happened. So there was a Big Bang, a primordial explosion that created the space and the time in which we live. And then after that happened and the universe expanded, it cooled. And, you know, initially it was a sea of particles of various types. But as it cooled, it formed the common sort of particles we know of in our local universe today, like protons and electrons and neutrons. And as it cooled, in fact, to about 3,000 degrees, these sort of ordinary, as you might call them, particles combined to form, for example, a proton and an electron combined to form a hydrogen atom. And the protons and neutrons and some electrons combined to form helium atoms. So at that point, the universe, and this is after about 300,000 years after the Big Bang, became a sea of hydrogen and helium atoms. And then as the universe grew older and older, keep in mind it's still very young compared to today's age of 13.7 billion years, the gas began to collapse and cool as it collapsed, and it formed these first galaxies. Now, at that point, we call the universe neutral. It's a neutral universe because it's composed mostly of hydrogen and helium atoms. So as these first galaxies formed, they began to emit light that actually turned the universe back into its previous earlier state of being ionized, as we call it. In other words, it was instead of a soup of hydrogen and helium atoms, it became a soup of protons and electrons again. And because of that, we can say that the universe went through a dramatic phase change. It means these first galaxies, like the one we observed at this redshift in the early universe, actually created a change in the entire structure of the universe by reverting it back to this, as we call it, ionized state, where it's composed of protons and electrons. And this is the gas between galaxies now. And so this is what this galaxy UDFY-38135539 is important, because we're actually observing galaxies when they're in the middle of this process of creating the changing the universe from being mostly hydrogen and helium atoms between the galaxies to one where actually it's mostly protons and electrons between the galaxies. And this is really quite dramatic, because these first galaxies literally changed the universe in which they lived. It also means that the way these galaxies formed was also different than a galaxy may form now in the local universe, or how a galaxy might evolve now in the local universe, because the conditions in which it lives is actually dramatically different than it was 13.1 billion years ago. So I think that's sort of the importance of this finding.
And what do you think that astronomers will find as they continue to find objects with newer and more advanced telescopes that are coming out today and in the near future, as astronomers continue to find objects closer and closer to the Big Bang?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I wish I really knew. I think what we'll continue to do is to find sort of smaller and fainter objects as we go back, because again, you know, as you go to closer and closer to the Big Bang, you have very little time for those objects to accumulate enough gas to really be big objects. So they have to be small. I mean, this galaxy already is very small, but they'll get even smaller and they'll get even fainter. And I think that's going to be the challenge. And your question's a really good one, because it's going to be the next generation of telescopes that's going to lead to the big breakthrough. Our observations were already very challenging on the world's largest telescopes. And we're not going to be able to push this much further until we actually build the next generation of facilities. Exciting possibility is we might even press back in time far enough to find the first stars forming, things that really weren't in galaxies but formed as separate big stars. And I think that's a very exciting potential.
You've been listening to astronomer Matthew Leonard of the Paris Observatory. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.